The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Doris Hyde for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you. The sound prints for last week is now available online. Triangle Sings schedules some performances, and there's a good one on June 1st. Reduced rates at convention from AIRA, A-I-R-A. Digital inclusion, an article from g3ict.org. And the New York Times had a great article republished in the NNO on Sunday regarding Braille Legos. And there will be some articles from Cool Blind Tech. And if I have time, I will read the described performances from Arts Access schedule. Today's reading of Vision News is underwritten by an anonymous gift in loving memory of Joe and Kelly. The Sound Prints Audio Magazine for April 28th is now online. 50th anniversary of the Kentucky Talking Book Library. Speakers include Barbara Penegor, director of the library, Michael Martis from NLS, Derek Ramsey, former NFL quarterback and secretary of the Kentucky Education Cabinet, Kentucky's lieutenant governor, author of Virginia Smith, and others. http://www.kentucky-acb.org/soundprints. Link to subscribe to the Sound Prints Audio Magazine podcast with the extension .xml. If you have any questions about the Sound Prints Audio Magazine, contact the Kentucky Council of the Blind. Phone 502-895-4598. Email kcb@kentucky-acb.org. From Triangle Sings, Everything Choir in the Triangle, Kantari presents Women of Note. On June 1st, 2019, at 7:30 p.m. in Chapel of the Cross in Chapel Hill, Kantari, the Voices Ensemble, will present Women of Note. The program will feature sacred and secular pieces by women composers, featuring Carol Barnett's The World Beloved, a bluegrass mass, with a bluegrass band. Audience members can revel in the beauty and the ecstatic joy of being overwhelmed by something too beautiful in Jenny Brandon's Giver of Stars. The concert will also feature Songstream by the renowned Alice Parker, and concert goers are invited to experience why her works have been so cherished for a generation. There's a hot link to read more about that on the Triangle Sings website. Also happening this week on Triangle Sings, Voice Camerata, and consort present Love and Spring in the Renaissance. Burlington Boys Choir has a 60th anniversary spring concert. Choral Society of Durham presents Ernest Bloch's Sacred Service. Sonam Late Spring Concert benefiting LEAP. Durham Community Chorale Spring Concert, Songs for Spring. Masks and Fairy Tales with the Concert Singers of Cary. View details on the Triangle Sings events calendar. Sing for the Cure with Carolina Harmony Chorus. General Assembly Chorus presents Ready, Set, Sing. Oakwood Waits Auditions. View details on the Triangle Sings auditions calendar. Don't forget to check Triangle Sings for the latest performances, auditions and calls, and jobs and paid opportunities. Janet Dickelman writes, thanks to a generous sponsorship from AIRA, room rates at the 2019 convention will be reduced. If you have made your reservations with the hotel, you don't need to contact the hotel. This will be done internally through ACB. Signed, Janet. AIRA looks forward to welcoming you to the 2019 American Council of the Blind Conference and Convention in Rochester. As you know, the 2019 American Council of the Blind Conference and Convention will be held in Rochester, New York from Friday, July 5th through Friday, July 12th. What you may not know is that this year's reduced roommates come courtesy of AIRA. ACB members attending conference and convention can enjoy a reduced hotel rate from $89 to $82 per night. This is applicable for ACB members only. AIRA will also be providing free service during the event, meaning you can explore and experience everything the convention has to offer with AIRA at no cost to you, from the moment you get to Rochester Airport to entering your reduced-rate hotel, to visiting exhibit booths and reading menus while at dinner with friends. AIRA and ACB look forward to meeting you at this year's ACB conference and convention. Come say hi to the AIRA team at their booth and attend their interactive talks. You can find all the details about AIRA convention happenings at aira.io/ACB. To become a member of the American Council of the Blind, visit http://acb.org/user/register. From g3ict.org, Power of Technology and Inclusion, Raleigh and Smart Cities for All partner to explore power of technology and inclusion. Smart Cities for All partners with Raleigh as the second city for a digital inclusion pilot project. Dateline Raleigh NC, April 25, 2019. Raleigh, a city committed to being both smarter and more inclusive, is piloting Smart City Digital Inclusion Assessment Tool created by G3ICT and world-enabled with Microsoft support. This week, the Smart Cities for All Global Initiative, a collaboration of G3ICT and World Enabled, two nonprofits with a history of leadership in the inclusive, accessible design, has convened in Raleigh a team of global smart technology and inclusion experts to track the city's progress and measure commitment to digital inclusion. The Smart City Digital Inclusion Maturity Model tool helps cities evaluate the current state of ICT accessibility and inclusion of persons with disabilities in city digital and smart services. Focused on a broad range of functions important to all cities, such as communications, procurement, training, and technology standards, it defines key performance indicators and metrics to support advancing accessibility and digital inclusion in a smart city context. James Thurston, G3ICT Vice President and Smart Cities for All Managing Director, praised Raleigh's commitment to using technology to benefit all people in the city, including persons with disabilities. "We are thrilled to bring here to Raleigh to work with its leadership, our team of experts with decades of experience," said Thurston. "This week, we have begun using our Digital Inclusion Maturity Model tool to support the commitment to progress of executives and staff across all city departments." In October 2018, Raleigh released its first ever Smart City Strategy. That strategy defined 5 strategic priorities and an organizational plan to pursue them. The city, led by Chief Information Officer, CIO, D. Darnell Smith, conducted a comprehensive assessment to develop the strategy, including a benchmark survey of more than 200 city employees and multiple community and partner meetings. This week's pilot assessment with Smart Cities for All will lead to a roadmap to complement the Raleigh Smart City Strategy. That's a mouthful. The City of Raleigh is excited about its selection by Smart Cities for All as a pilot city, said D. Darnell Smith, Raleigh's CIO. "We embrace their thought leadership on digital inclusion. This effort will help ensure our technology strategy supports accessibility for all. At Microsoft, we are making investments on accessibility across all our business units and believe it's an imperative for all organizations, including cities, to create cultures of inclusion. We commend Raleigh for prioritizing accessibility and inclusion across their digital environment so that all citizens are empowered to achieve more. The Smart Cities for All Digital Inclusion Maturity Model is a tool to help achieve that important objective," said Megan Lawrence, accessibility evangelist at Microsoft and a member of the expert visiting team. "The Smart Cities for All Digital Inclusion Maturity Model tool will help achieve that important objective." Eric Bridges, Executive Director, American Council of the Blind, and another participant on the expert visiting team, added, "I think it is very encouraging that Raleigh is proactively digging into digital inclusion, and I am happy to be a part of the Smart Cities for All expert team to support the city." During this week's pilot of the Smart Cities for All Digital Inclusion Maturity Model, the expert team convened by G3ICT, its partners, is meeting with 19 city departments to understand how effectively the city coordinates its digital inclusion and smart city efforts to create inclusive experiences for everyone. The result of the pilot will be an assessment of Raleigh's progress on digital inclusion and a roadmap for making more progress. In 2016, G3ICT partnered with World Enabled to launch the Smart Cities for All Global Initiative. Since then, Smart Cities for All has defined the state of ICT accessibility in cities worldwide and created tools and a path forward to improve the digital inclusion of persons with disabilities and older persons. Our goal is to eliminate the digital divide for persons with disabilities and older persons in smart cities around the world. We are partnering with leading organizations and companies to create and deploy the tools and strategies needed to build more inclusive smart cities. Signed, UDITA Singh, Communications Manager, G3ICT. Email udita.singh@g3ict.org. Braillegos Reinvent Spelling Blocks for the Blind by Sarah Mervosh for the New York Times. When Carlton Cook Walker's young daughter developed health problems that led to near-total blindness, she knew she wanted her to learn Braille. But the family's school in rural central Pennsylvania was resistant. A teacher pointed out that the girl then in preschool could still read print, as long as it was in 72-point type and held inches from her face. I said, what about when she's in high school? How will she read Dickens like this? Recalled Cook Walker, whose daughter Anna is now 18. The teacher's response was chilling. Oh, she'll just use audio. So Cook Walker took matters into her own hands. In addition to successfully advocating Braille in her daughter's school, she bought used children's books embossed Braille dots alongside the text and rebound them, teaching Anna to read through the stories of the Berenstain Bears and Clifford the Big Red Dog. Now, a new effort is underway to ease challenges like these and help blind and visually impaired children more naturally learn to read Braille, a system based on different configurations of 6 small raised dots that blind people read with their fingertips, and it is coming in the form of a favorite childhood toy, Lego bricks. Last week, the Lego Foundation, which is funded by the Lego Group, the Danish toy company that makes the blocks, announced a new project that will repurpose the usual knobs, adopt the bricks as Braille dots. And because the blocks will also be stamped with the corresponding written letter, number, or punctuation symbol, they can be played with by blind and sighted children alike. The project, called Lego Braille Bricks, is in a pilot phase and is expected to be released in partnership with schools and associations for the blind in 2020. When they get Lego in their hands, it's intuitive for them, said Diana Ringe Krog, who is overseeing the project for the Lego Foundation. They learn Braille almost without noticing that they are learning. It is really a learning-through-play approach. Advocates say the product could transform reading for the blind and visually impaired children, making the experience of learning Braille more inclusive and helping to combat what has been called a Braille literacy crisis. Though the research is limited, some estimates suggest that just 10% of blind children in the United States learn to read Braille, even though Braille literacy is associated with better job outcomes for adults. In 2017, less than half of American adults with visual impairments were employed, according to a disability report by Cornell University. Braille, once widely taught in schools for the blind, has fallen by the wayside since the 1970s, when the law began requiring public schools to offer equal education to children with disabilities. Blind students were able to join their sighted peers in the classroom, but traditional schools, biased toward sight and facing a lack of specialized teachers, often pushed children with any sight at all to rely on magnified print. And an explosion of accessible technologies, including audiobooks, apps, and screen readers, has strengthened reliance on audio, which advocates say cannot effectively teach critical skills like spelling and grammar, let alone complicated math. Audio can give you information, but it can't give you literacy, said Chris Danielson, a spokesman for the National Federation for the Blind, of the Blind, which offers summer programs to teach Braille through hands-on activities. The Braille bricks have been tested in schools and community centers in Brazil, Denmark, Norway, and Britain. And in the fall, the pilot program will expand to Germany, France, Mexico, and the United States, according to the Lego Foundation. After taking in feedback, Lego will roll out the Braille bricks next year, the foundation said. The Lego sets will be free for children through associations for the blind and schools. Paul Paravano, who went blind from retinal cancer as a toddler, said Braille was critical to his job working in government relations at MIT. He uses it to write and give speeches, keep track of his calendar, and take notes in meetings. If I'm sitting in a meeting and my boss asks me a question about a piece of information, I can't go stick an earphone in my ear and look it up if I'm in a meeting with a senator or a member of Congress, Paravano said. He even uses Braille to get dressed for work. A labeling system helps him match clothes he cannot see. For example, if suit number 50, my file system says we'll go with tie number 46 and shirt number 32. But many children don't learn Braille, not only because teachers and parents often lack the technical skills to teach it, but also because the experience can be isolating for young children, who must rely on separate books and machines from those used by their classmates. Paravano learned Braille on his own in the 1950s. His mother taught him at home, he said, using a homemade block of wood and six marbles, which represented the six dots in the code. Today, children often learn to write on a heavy machine that looks like a typewriter, but it feels clunky and can differentiate them from their friends in daycare and school, according to Thorkild Olesen, president of the Danish Association of the Blind. His organization first pitched the idea of Braille building blocks by Two Lego in 2011, followed by Doreen and Nowell Foundation for the Blind in Brazil, which separately proposed the idea in 2017. Many blind children give up learning Braille or will not be introduced to Braille in the first place, Olesen said in a statement. There have been other attempts to make learning Braille more appealing, including alphabet blocks and Uno playing cards. But the Lego bricks, which have built-in mainstream appeal and offer the chance to play around with words or even play a makeshift game of Scrabble, seem to have a unique appeal. I don't know of any other efforts that combine learning and play as thoroughly as Lego Braille bricks, Olesen said. Posted in Cool Blind Tech on April 30th, Be My Eyes app working with big tech companies that pay for referrals. Since 2015, when the Denmark-based platform Be My Eyes launched, more than 2 million volunteers have signed up to assist some 120,000 blind and low vision users, according to the company. That rapid expansion has forced the startup, which has until now been subsisting on grants and private investment, to figure out how to pay for the infrastructure to maintain the increasing volume of video call traffic. CEO Christian Erfurt said he never wanted to resort to the kind of advertising based on user data that has become standard in the tech world. In the first 2 years, it was challenging because we had advisors and mentors around us and people who were critical that we didn't monetize faster, Erfurt said. BME has access to all call content but says it's used only to remove inappropriate content on the platform. Erfurt said to get a better idea of what exactly people were using the app to identify, they started asking users and volunteers for feedback. They discovered that many queries were about specific products that visually impaired people had trouble using, everything from computers to kitchen appliances. We realized that many of our volunteers were actually doing tech support, Erfurt said. These calls, his team learned, would be valuable to companies looking for insights on how to make their products more accessible. To capitalize on the valuable information in these calls, BME is now working with several big tech companies like Google and Microsoft that pay for referrals. If a blind person, for instance, is struggling to use Gmail, the BME app will offer to connect them with Google's accessibility support team. Erfurt said the company is currently looking for other companies to partner with. But this all raises a big question. Will directing callers to companies disrupt the spontaneous feel-good experience of this social network? Erfurt thinks it won't, but he admits the future of the app is unclear. Posted at Cool Blind Tech on April 30th, Able Gamers launches new accessible games website for developers and gamers with disabilities. The Able Gamers charity recently launched Accessible Games, a site with free resources for developers who want to make their games accessible to a wider audience. It consists of two major parts. First is the Accessible Experiences portal, which is a comprehensive collection of tips and guidelines that offer suggestions on everything from how your game controls to letting players skip content if they can't complete a certain section. The second part is the player panels, where gamers with disabilities can sign up to offer feedback on a game. Developers can interact with them and use this opportunity to test out new ideas and features for an audience they normally wouldn't have easy access to. Accessible.games is just the latest project from Able Gamers, which has done a lot of good in the gaming industry. Last year, it worked with Microsoft and other special needs organizations to create the groundbreaking Xbox Adaptive Controller. Posted on Cool Blind Tech April 16th, Falling Squirrel designs game for blind and visually impaired players. Players can explore a medieval village, embark on a lengthy quest, and clash in a sword duel with an enemy in a new computer game, all without ever having to glance at a screen. The Veil is an all-audio PC game created for the visually impaired community by Dave Evans, the founder and creative director of Falling Squirrel. All that's required to play the game is a controller and a pair of headphones, plus a certain amount of curiosity. Evans started out as a filmmaker in Toronto, where he learned screenwriting and voiceover direction. He later decided to put his storytelling skills to use in game development. He spent some time working at AAA Video Game Company, a classification denoting extremely high production standards. A lot of people who go into video game development have artistic sensibilities and are inclined to work on producing stellar visuals, he said. Evans was interested in pursuing something other than visuals, so he started work on a new personal project, a challenge to develop a game devoid of visuals, and that's when he discovered the smaller, developing niche market of all audio games. I started understanding that there are people who could really use this, Evans said. Evans wanted to develop a new game for visually impaired gamers, one with parallel story depth to large-scale games such as Skyrim or Uncharted, which are popular with visual gamers. Recent advances in virtual reality technology have opened new doors to create audio games with incredible psychological effect of intimacy and fidelity, Evans said. Evans utilized what is known as binaural audio recording technology, the use of two microphones that mimic human ears, to replicate the intricacies of human hearing in 3D space. Players can navigate all at their own will in the 3D audio space of the game, choosing to engage with or flee from lifelike characters, enticing quests, and mortal dangers. Sounds in the game grow louder and feel closer when you move toward them, and become faint, eventually disappearing when you'd retreat. With this dedicated attention to detail, he hopes the game will be able to produce moments that allow visually impaired players to relate. At the same time, he hopes to create a gaming experience that will have sighted players saying, "I never thought of blindness that way." He reached out to the Canadian National Institute for the Blind during early development of the game. There, Evans found support by way of Martin Corsells, a visually impaired gamer who helped test various versions of The Veil. The two formed a close working relationship, and Corsells became a knowledgeable partner in the blind community for Evans, who is fully sighted. The Veil's main character is the second-born child of a medieval monarch who is visually impaired. However, he is not defined by his visual impairment. It is a trope present in other games revolved around visually impaired characters. That was important to avoid for Evans in creating the game. He focused more on the philosophy of listening, a tenet he believes both visually impaired and sighted gamers can get behind. The Veil is expected to release in June 2019. Posted on CoolBlindTech.com April 9th, this 14-year-old is developing a Yelp for accessibility. Alex Knowles' concept app could make getting around easier for people living with a disability. Alex Knoll is nervous about starting high school in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, next fall, but not only because of the harder assignments and new social scene. He's worried about managing his startup, which received $25,000 from Ellen DeGeneres while he was still in middle school. Alex Knoll is the 14-year-old inventor of Ability App, a mobile app that, when it launches later this year, will function like Yelp, but for people with disabilities. Ability App will connect people with disabilities related to mobility, vision, hearing, or cognition with businesses that have the resources to accommodate them. Noel says he has dedicated the bulk of his free time for the past 4 years working the app. His parents have homeschooled him to help him keep development going. In 2017, he was a guest on the Ellen DeGeneres show where she presented him with a $25,000 check to keep up his work with the project. After I was on the Ellen DeGeneres show, I received over 30,000 emails from people talking about how this tool would change their lives, Noel said. There were definitely some very emotional things that people have said. They've said how life-changing this app would be for them, because there's really nothing out there like it. There are a few cities out there that are truly accessible for all residents. In New York, only 1/4 of subway stops are wheelchair accessible. Due to a loophole in the Americans with Disabilities Act, U.S. restaurants don't have to provide Braille menus to blind diners as long as it is posted online. In 2016, the United Nations acknowledged that the current lack of accessibility in cities around the world presents a major challenge. I have a lot of friends with disabilities who have helped me get an overview, Noel says. They've helped me get finalized on specific features on the app. How Ability app works. The basis for the app is simple in theory, but far more difficult in practice. He envisions a pull-down menu that would allow a person to select their particular disability, which would then let them sort through local businesses that are rated on a scale of 1 to 5 stars on their accessibility for that particular disability. That functionality, he says, has already taken rounds of testing and years to perfect. Thinking past his 2019 launch date, he's already thinking even bigger. He wants the app to feature a job board and reviews from users, a digital ecosystem that goes beyond the widely embraced accessibility maps that have already drawn a lot of attention to the inequities built into modern cities. Noel's app can sort businesses according to several different types of disabilities. Noel says he looks up to Apple CEO Tim Cook, whose company has made accessibility a priority in its hardware, notably in the wheelchair-optimized Apple Watch. He's been a hero of mine for a long time, Noel says of Cook. He doesn't just care about business. He knows that it's important to focus on the needs of others in his products. Noel says he devotes a few hours a day to answering emails from potential users before starting on homeschool assignments. But he also likes riding his bike, drawing, tennis, and pickleball. This fall, he begins high school and leaves the homeschool Ability app routine behind. That brings its own set of challenges and opportunities. I'm hoping that this school will hopefully accept some of the things I'll be working on, he says, but I really want to get back to seeing kids my own age and going to school. And now the schedule of audio-described performances from artsaccessinc.org. Upcoming audio-described performances in Raleigh. The Somewhat True Story of Robin Hood at Cary Youth Applause Theater, Cary Arts Center, May 19th, 5:30 p.m. Pippin at Raleigh Little Theater, Sutton, June 9th, 3 p.m. Caroline or Change at Justice Theater Project, June 16th, 3:30 p.m. Annie at NC Theater, Raleigh Memorial Auditorium, July 27th, 2 p.m. In Durham and Chapel Hill, Durham Ballet's Aladdin at Carolina Theater, May 17th, 6:30 p.m. Hello Dolly at DPAC, May 25th, 2 p.m. Cats at DPAC, June 8th, 8 p.m. In Greensboro and Winston-Salem, Man of La Mancha at Triad Stage, May 18th, 2 p.m. In Fayetteville and the Sand Hills, Memphis, at Cape Fear Regional Theater, May 18th, 2 p.m. Thanks to our grantors, Raleigh Arts Commission, City of Oaks, North Carolina Arts Council, United Arts Council. Thank you to our sponsors, InStride Wake Foot and Ankle Center, Mako Medical Laboratories, Catering Works, Christensen Photography, Hesed, H-E-S-E-D, Cary Audiology, Cap Trust, Maggie Clay Love, Every Story Media, Litmus Gallery and Studios. We've run out of time for today's episode of Vision News. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. Call 919-832-5138 if you have comments and questions. So long until next time.